Tell everybody in your name that the Rebbe should say Shalom Aleichem first. Nobody believes me. But I think that you can see it when Hasidim come to the Rebbe, they come to Nemen Shalom. So maybe that's what it is.
Right. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you should wait till the Rebbe greets you first.
Yeah. What daf are we on?
What daf? We are on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay. The Mishnah Nun Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. We already learned this Mishnah. We'll do it again, just to review and to finish the Mishnah. The Gemara derived from a pasuk that there's a significance to 70 shivim amma v'shirayim, 70 amas plus. Where did they derive that from? So the pasuk says that the chotzah mishkan, the mishkan was 50 wide, 50 amas wide by 100 long, and the pasuk says chamishim v'chamishim v'rochav chamishim v'chamishim. What does it mean? Rochav chamishim v'chamishim. Rochav is chamishim. Chamishim v'chamishim means 50 by 50. The Gemara says no. A strange pshat. The Gemara says, take the 100 by 50 and make it into a square, just like chamishim and chamishim is a square, and then take the how much is 50 by 100? Is 5,000. So take the square root of 5,000. That's going to be 70 plus change, and that's a significant number. L'mayin afkamina, what's the significance? So it has no significance as far as the Mishkan is concerned, but it's significant. It's relevant when you get to this din in the Mishnah here. You have houses, 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 and all the houses are close to each other, so they have the status of a city. How close do the houses have to be to each other that they should be considered mitzuref to the city, that you extend the city borders, the city limits? Shivim amma v'shirayim, if it's 70 amas. And Tosfos says that it seems that that's a din d'oraisa. Even though the pasuk that is derived from doesn't sound at all like that's a legitimate drasha, so Tosfos says you have no brerit. We must assume it doesn't make sense to say that the houses have to be contiguous to each other, they have to be touching each other, in order that they should be mitzuref yachad to constitute a city. And it does make sense that they should be 100 miles away from each other. You're going to say New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and Miami and everything is one big city. So it has to be some shear. So the Gemara Darshan from this pasuk, that's the shear. So shivim amma b'shirayim, 70 amas plus 70 and 2/3 amas is the shear to be mitzaref one house to the other, to the other, to the other. If our houses are within 70 amas to each other, it's all mitzuref yachad. Now the Mishnah says, Nesin Karpov Lir, Divir Rav Meir. Rav Meir's opinion is that when you draw this, we already went through this, when you draw the outline of the city, so you always make it into a rectangle. So you draw, if it's approximately a rectangle the way it stands, so you just fill in the rectangle. If it's a sloppy mess, if it's a circular area, it doesn't seem to be in the shape of a rectangle at all, then you make it a rectangle according to the Ruach HaSoilo, northeast, southwest, on a map. So then, the Pashtus is, you measure 2,000 amas to the north, 2,000 amas to the east, and so on. So Rav Meir says, no, first you measure 70 amas. First you draw your rectangle, then you measure 70 amas around that. That's called the Burish Alir, and then you begin Ersh to measure the Alpayim Amma after the 70 amas. That's Rav Meir's opinion. The Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir. They say there is no such halacha. Once you've drawn your rectangular shape for the city, so you already get down to business and you draw the next rectangle is going to be the Tum, the Alpayim Amma away. It doesn't make sense that 70 amas is to be mechaba one house to the other, but not 70 amas to nothing. You have a city and you draw the city limits in a rectangular shape, then you draw 70 amas into nothing, just into empty space, and then you begin to measure Alpayim Amma after that. So the Chachamim disagree. So the Rosh quotes this Amachlekes HaRishonim had a paskin. And the Ramon Shulchan Aruch is Mekeli paskins like Reb Meir, that you don't begin measuring Alpayim Amma out of the city limits. First you measure 70 amas, and then Ersht you measure the Alpayim Amma. We'll make a like Reb Meir, because we had the Gemara before. Not only does it apply when you get to Eriv and Chatzeris, even in Eruv et Tchumen also. What does it mean, Halachi Devar Mekel Be'eriv, even if it's Rabbi Machmirim, when you have a Machlekes Yochid Ve'Rabbim, and the majority opinion is L'chumra. The Chachamim, Maimrim, the Chachamim say, you don't measure 70 amas and then begin to measure 2,000. You measure right away 2,000. So we make a like Reb Meir, halachik de Rav Meikel, be'erev, even by a ruvei tchumen. Because the whole din of tchumen is only midirabban. So this is the machlekes Reb Meir and the Chacham. So the Chachamim disagree. You don't measure 70 and then 2,000. Lo yomer karpefela ben shtei ayoris. What kind of a din is that ben shtei ayoris? If you have two different cities, and each city has houses, so if the houses are within 70 amas to each other, then they're connected, and we declare that it's one big city. So we learned already the Gemara. The Gemara has four lines after the Mishnah. Itma, there was machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Chiya bar Rav. We read this, I think, 2-3 weeks ago. So there's machlekes in the Gemara. What does the Mishnah mean to say? If you have a city over here and a city over here, and each one has a lot of 1,000 houses, and the houses of one are within 70 amas, the house that's furthest west in this city is within 70 amas to the house that's furthest east in the other city. So that's a normal din. So that's the regular din. If you have a house within 70 amas, so the city keeps on extending. So of course it's one big city. So is that what the Mishnah means? Lo yomer karpefela ben shtei ayoris miyesh lozushiv imame v'shirayim. What does that mean? So the Gemara has a machlekes Amoraim how to read the Mishnah. So we pass in Lalocha, it's not that karpef echod, not that if the houses are within 70 amas to each other. That's a chadin pashut. Whenever a house is within 70 amas to another house, the city keeps on extending. No, this is a kula. If you have a little less than 141, amas, shivim amas, 70 amas and 2/3, and 70 amas and 2/3 is going to be 141 amas and 1/3. So if you have less than that, so you have interlocking karpifim between the two cities, so that's mechaber the two cities to be considered echad. Then they're considered one city. So the Gemara pointed out, we already learned the Gemara before, and the Gemara is going to repeat it over here. We had another din with a shear is interlocking Trum Shabbos. Sometimes the din is Trum Shabbos is 2,000 amas. So if this city has Trum Shabbos 2,000, this city has Trum Shabbos 2,000. So if the gap between the two cities is slightly less than 4,000, so then it's considered Mechuba Yacha. How come over here the shear is interlocking Karpifin has to be less than 141, and there the shear is less than 4,000? So the Gemara explained why. That's a Ir Hasuya Kikeshes. You have houses, has many houses here, many thousands and thousands of houses, but the city is in this shape. So the question, so if you want to walk, it's one Alpidin, it is one city, no two ways about it, it is one city. So if you want to go, I live over here and he lives over here, it's a 5-hour walk, but it's all one big city. So if I walk over here, that's perfectly mutter. I get to the other end, I'm walking within the same city. Shabbos, am I allowed to walk from here to here? If this is 5,000 amas away, so you're not allowed to walk. We don't declare that everything is considered. See, normally, if you have a city in this shape, so you draw a rectangular shape around it, and this alpidin are the city limits, and then you have alpai mama like this. Here, you have no right to draw a rectangular shape like this, because there's nothing here in the middle.
Didn't you say it was the same city?
This is one big city.
So why?
But the houses are in this shape.
The houses are on the bell-shaped
right.
And inside.
So if I want to walk from here to here to here to here, I'm walking within the city. It can take me 10 hours to walk. It's Toch HaTrum. It's Toch HaYir. It's Mamish Toch HaYir. Shabbos, I want to walk straight across over here. Here there are no houses. They're empty over here.
On this bar over here.
So the Gemara says over here, you're not talking it's two different cities. If you have two different cities... Let's say one city over here, one city over here. So if the last house over here and last house over here are within 141 amas to each other, so then it's considered, I declare it as one city. Here the Meduber, and that was the Machlekes Achrayim, does it mean, Taka, that we discussed that the two houses, the last house here, last, have to be within 141 amas? Or do you say, no, you draw this as a rectangular shape, and you draw this as a rectangular shape, and then you measure 141 amas from the end of the rectangle. So that, so you can be makel. There's going to be a further distance. So that's a discussion. So here, it's not a topic Is it considered one city or two cities? It is one city. Absolutely, it's one city. If you want to walk over here, of course it's one city. It can take you 10 hours. It's all within the one city. The Shaila is, normally you have empty space. And normally you draw a rectangular shape. Here you draw a rectangular shape, the whole thing is going to be all empty over here. So that's what we're paskin. If you have interlocking chlum, if the gap over here, the gap between this and this, is less than 4,000 amas, then I consider it as if the whole thing is filled in, as if the whole thing would be full of houses, and then I have a right to draw a rectangular shape like this, and everything is considered the city, and the tchum is over here. But if it's further, if it's a distance of, not interlocking tchum, and it's more than 4,000 amas, then you have no right to say that. So what do you say? So the city blight over here, this shape, you have no empty space over here. So that's what Tosis explained. No, up until 2,000 amas here,
you
see, there's going to be a point where it's going to be less. Here it's more than 4,000 amas. Let's say. Here it's 5,000 amas. There's a point closer in where it's going to be less. So at that point, you do draw the line across. Or even if it's 5,000 amas across, but from here to here it's going to be less than 2,000 amas. So then also, one city it is anyway. The topic over here is not, is it one city or two cities? It is one city, because the houses go caseta like this. Shaila's about filling it in to declare that everything is considered as if it's a rectangular shape. So there we had here, if you want to combine two different cities, you have a stricter shear. The shear has to be interlocking karpifim, has to be less than 141. Here it is one city, the topic is whether the whole thing is considered as if it's filled in, so then we're mekel on the shear. So it has to be less than 4,000, or it has to be within 2,000 amas. Then the Gemara has over here noch hadin, a third din, where you're not really discussing whether two cities are considered one. The Mishnah continues. The second half of the Mishnah, Nun Zayinam and Aleph, going to have noch hashir. V'chein gimel kfarim hamishuloshim. If you have three, a kfar is a village, you have three cities. Pashab shat mishuloshim means in a row. You have one city, a second city, a third city. So what's the din? When do you declare that all the three cities are considered? And someone wants to go, he lives in one city over here, he wants to go all the way to the second, to the third, and nochan alpay mama, outside of the third. Is that legitimate? So based on the rules and regulations, so we should say, if you have interlocking, if you have 141 amas, if you have less than 141 amas between the first city and the second city, they join to be considered one city. Between the second and the third, right there, they join to be one city. So pshita, so what is the Mishnah telling me? We know that already, if you have interlocking karpifim. So that's what the Gemara asks. Mechen gimel kvarm hamishuloshim, three villages in a row. But the Mishnah has it funny. Im yesh ben shnayim hachitzoinim meyo v'arboim v'achas u'shlish. If you have the gap between, what do you mean? Shnayim hachitzoinim. What do the words mean?
Because you have three.
So if you have the gap between the first and the third is less than 141, why should it be the gap? Should be the gap between the first and the second, between the second and the third.
Yes, but you apply the same rule that one and two. You also apply also why to the third one.
So you're repeating the rule twice.
Yes.
Yeah, but it sounds from the mission as if the gap between the first and the third city should be less than 141. That's not the din. So then it says, the middle city and the middle village in the middle combines with the first city, combines with the third city, all three are considered one big city. So the Gemara discusses the cheshbon that we just made. If you have interlocking karpifim, less than 141, so it's considered one big city, so what's added on over here? So the Gemara says no. Here is a new topic. Here's a new discussion. You have, here the Gemara has like this, you don't have three cities in a row. Rashi on the base has a diagram on the left column. It says Kozet, so he has the diagram. You have one city over here, another city over here, then there's a third city over here. So it's not that this is within 141 amas to this, and this is within 141 amas to this. No. This is almost 2,000 amas away. This is very far away. And these are very far away from each other also. Mm-hmm. This is 5,000 amas away from each other. It doesn't even have interlocking tchumen. Nowhere near each other. So the Gemara interprets the Mishnah that if this Here's the first city, second city, the third city. So if the second city that's in between is within Chum Shabbos to the first city, within Alpayim Amah to the first city, it's within Alpayim Amah to the second city, even though there's 10,000 Amos between the first city and the third city. So the halacha considers it, we have the right to declare as if this city will move in between here. And if the gap now between the first and the second is less than 141, and the gap between the second and the third is less than 141, so we consider the first and the third as if they're one big city.
Where do you put the imaginary city now?
So the imaginary city is only, it's only imaginary for the purposes of being Mechaba 1 and 3, but the people, there are real people who live in the real city, they have their Tchum Shabbos. They don't, you don't consider, for the people who live here, they don't have the whole, they don't have this kula. There you're going to draw a rectangle, and then they're going to make the Tchumin around this, that's all. That's the whole Tchum Shabbos. But because city number 2 is within Alpayim Amah to 1, within Alpayim Amah to 3, so the halacha says vis-a-vis the people who live in 1 and 3, you have a kula to be mechaber. 1 and 3 is considered as if it were one big city, and then you draw their tchum here, there, one big city, and then you draw the tchum Shabbos over here. But that's only for the people who live in 1 and 3. People live in 2 really live over here. They don't live here. Just for the purposes of being mechaber, 1 and 3, we're mekel.
Yeah. So that's, who that's, made these rules?
The Tanoim. The Tanoim made. So the Gemara explains there are three different rules. The three different Shurim are three different rules. If you have Ir Asuya Kikeshes, it is one city. We're not discussing combining two different cities. It is one city. The Shaila is, do you have a right to fill it all in, to make it into a rectangular shape? Or you just leave it the skinny line the way it is and you measure Alpayim Amah around that? So the Gemara says if it's less than 4,000 Amah, you have interlocking Tchum, then you have a right to consider it as if everything is filled in. If you have two different cities and you want to make mechaber them, so the share is interlocking karpifim. It has to be less than 141. And here is a new story. Here is a new story. If the second city is in between the first and the third, if it's a gigantic city, if it's bigger than the space in between, then the Rosh says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rosh, that's no good. But if the second city is small enough that if you would move it down, you would visualize if it's moved in between 1 and 3, it would be able to fit there. And if it would be moved in between 1 and 3, the gap between 1 and 2 would be less than 141. The gap between 2 and 3 would be less than 141. So then that's a kula that 1 and 3 are mechuba yachad. But 2 is stands on its own. City number 2 stands on its own. It doesn't have that kula. So that's what the Gemara explains, that the three different shurim, totally three different shurim, because each one is accomplishing a totally different purpose. Are you combining two cities? Oh, no, you have already one city, but you're filling in all the empty spaces. Or over here, you're combining two cities, but the thing that's combining them, this imaginary city that's combining them, for the people who live there, that stays on its own. City number 2 stays on its own. It's only this.
Okay.
I visualize as if 2 were moved down for the purpose of combining 1 and 3. Yeah.
Right up there with good office.
Yeah.
Right up there with a good office. Imaginary life and imaginary.
Yeah. That is the mission.
What if it's number 2? About to go to visit the city if it's within 71 amas, right?
If you have houses within 70 amas to each other,
right.
So the city so keeps on extending.
When you reach to the last house, can you go 70 amas more or just to the city?
That's the machlekes Rav Meir and Chachamim. Do you say now, we draw the city limits there. Now we say another 70 amas, and then you begin counting Alpayim Amah?
I'm not talking about Alpayim Amah. If you have houses and you're allowed to go as many as there are 71 houses in between, you can go as far as you want to go.
Right.
Nothing to do with cities now. It's just the houses. Yeah. You're going on a highway.
But this din, the houses, that's only if you have a city. In order to be considered a city, you have to have Gimel Chatzeres. You have to have Gimel Chatzeres. If you just have house, a house, a house, a house, okay. You didn't get to first base. That's the Mishnah. In order to be considered a city,
both. It is a city.
Yeah.
And then you have 71 houses.
A house, a house, a house.
Now you reach to the last one.
Right.
So can you go only to that place or 71 further after that?
I can go Alpayim Amah further.
Alpayim
Amah further. And that's the Machlokes. Meir says I can go another 70 Amahs and then Alpayim.
Uh-huh.
And the Chachamim disagree, and that's the machlokes. How do we paskin? So the Ramah paskins Ashkenazim like Rab Meir. Lehakil, the Rosh quotes the Maharam Rutmer that we pass like Rab Meir. Lehakil, halachik de Rab Meir kol Beir. That's the Mishnah. Then the Gemara here, the Gemara has all the calculations. Gemara explains the three different dinim, so each one has a totally different shear. It's not a kasha. Then the Gemara says, right before the Mishnah, Nun Zayin Amid Beis, there were two cities in Bavel, they were on two different sides of a river. Where is this? Omalei Rav Safra Lerava. There was a city, Akispon, and there was a city, and the river was Archer. What is it? The Diglas River. The Diglas River separated between these two cities. So people would go from one city to the other. In order to be mechaber two cities together, it has to be less than 141 amas. And the river was much wider than 141 amas. So how are they allowed to go from one city on one side of the river to the other side of the river to the other city? In fact, Akasha, based on all the rules and regulations that we just worked through, that was the whole Gemara before, Haray, Frekta Akasha, but Lamaisa, people do go further. Haray B'nei, Aktispon, the Mashkin Elohu Truma, Mehagi, Sadarcha. Must have been a bridge.
The city of Buda, Venice, and there's two cities.
So that's the kasha that yes, you have two different cities on two different sides of the Diglas River. The frekta hare ha ika Diglas, the river is mafsika. Yes, it's more than 141 and a third. So he just said, in order to be mechaber two cities together, to consider them as one, and to measure the tchum outside, there has to be a gap between the two different cities, should be less than 141. So he says, no, Sinishkin Kasha, if you look carefully, you'll see that as you cross the river, in the middle of the river, there are locations there where there are little houses there, with a little destroyed houses.
Islands.
Yeah, a little bit. So each one is within 70 amas to the other one. So therefore, the city limit keeps on extending. And the gap in between the two cities is less than 141.
People live in those houses?
No, no one lives there, but they're roi ledira, like we had in the beginning of the perek. If you have a house that has three walls, it does need a roof. If you have two walls and a roof, whether the two walls are adjacent, the two walls are parallel to each other. If you have two walls and a roof, it's also roi ledira. So as long as it's roi ledira, so it's okay. And we had, if it's a church or a shul, so that's not considered roi ledira, unless there's a room for the super, unless there's a room for the janitor, a room for the galochim, and so on. So that was the shaila from this. What do you mean? You consider the city on two sides of the river, and you have a big river in between. But you can't build the whole city over there, and if you have a city, and then you have a house. So someday they'll probably build many more houses when the city is going to grow. So the whole thing will be filled in with houses. So then I understand, a house. Each house within 70 amas to the previous house that the city extends. But over here, two sides of a river, you can't keep up building houses in the middle of a river. It's not shaykh. So it would appear from this Gemara that it doesn't matter. Even though you have a river, mafsuk in between, as long as you have a house, even though it's not roi to make a whole yeshiv there, would appear that it is good. So that was the machlokes. Would you say the same regarding if you have a big highway in between? You have a city on one side of the highway, city on the other side of the highway. Let's say it's in the middle of a city. Al Pidin, it's two different cities because there's such a gap, more than 141 amas in between. So if you have a city on one side, a city, the definition is you have to have three chatzeres. And each chatzer has to have a minimum of two batim in it. Just let's say a person has a mansion. One person has a mansion and he has a front yard, a backyard, a big fence around his whole. He has a lot of grass. That's not called a chatzer. That's a chatzer with one bais. You have to have a chatzer. Heistah is a mechitza room and a room, and you have to have two batim. Two different families live there. So if you have to have three chatzeres, a minimum of three chatzeres. Either the three chatzeres are touching each other, or the three chatzeres are within 70 amas to each other. Then you have to have. That's not enough. Three chatzeres. Then you have to have a minimum population. That's what we went through. The Ravid in Hilchas Megillah quotes the Gemara in the first Perek in Sanhedrin that in order to qualify to have the din of Yiran Idachas, qualify. who wants to be an Eirani Dachas? But in order that the din of Eirani Dachas should apply, so the Gemara says you have to have a minimum population of 100 people. That's how we pass. Less than 100 people is not called a city. So you have to put the two together. You have to have a minimum population of 100 of 100 people. And then the Mishnah Berurah quoted from the Prima Gaudim, if they only live there temporarily, the Gemara says that it doesn't count. That was the Gemara we had a couple of weeks ago. The people who live, the nomads, who just live there for a couple of months, then they move on. So that doesn't count to make it into a city. So the Shaila was, how long do they have to live there? 6 months, a year, 30 days. It's very unclear. So that's what the Prima Gaudim is not sure. So you have to have a minimum population, 100 people, and it should be three chatzeres, each chatzer, and the chatzeres have to be near each other within 70 amas vishi, right? So then you have, al-pidin, you have a city. So a lot of times you have a city, has a big boulevard in the middle, you have a big highway in the middle, from one side of the highway to the other side of the highway is way more than 141 amas. 141 is not so much, way more than 141 amas. So what's the din? So it doesn't combine to be one? So that's the shaila. If somewhere the highway gets narrower and it's less than 141, sure. So then the two, each one has the dimensions of a city. Each on this side of the highway, that side of the highway, each one has gimel chatzeres, and each one has more than 100 people who live there kavua. They've been living there for the last 25 years. And if there's one point where the two highways are so close to each other that the houses on either side are within 141 amps, so then the two cities are mitzuruf yachad. So then you have no problem. Shadows, a lot of times you have this, you have the highway separating the city, and the boulevard of the highway goes through the whole city. And at no point are the houses within 141 amps to each other. So what are you going to say? So some of the pasukim say, no, a highway in the middle of a city, that enhances the city. A river, that doesn't enhance the city. A highway, that makes it easier for the people to... It's helpful for transportation purposes.
River also.
So that's the shaila. Is it the same as the river? And the Gemara says the river in the middle of the city is governed with the rules and regulation of 141 amas. And if you have little haiskalach in the middle, then it's mitztarf yachad. Or should you say no? Somewhere a boulevard is better, is worse. That's what the achrayim, that's what the recent poskim are pilpiling about. What's the din? Okay. So that's the Gemara. This Gemara is. We don't have a clear cut answer. So that's why the Rabbanim of our generation are fighting about that. What do you do if you have a city that has a big boulevard, a big highway cuts through the middle of the city, and it's never near the two sides, the houses on either side are never within 141 amps? Is it the same as the river Asatoygnish, the two different cities, and you measure the Tchum Shabbos from here? Or do you say no, that the highway or the boulevard blends in to be called part of the city? Now the Mishnah discusses how do you measure? How do you measure the Alpayim Amo? So, the Alpayim Amo, let's say you live in a very hilly section. So if I want to walk from here to here, how much is Alpayim Amo? Alpayim Amo is 1 mil. How much time does it take to walk on the average 1 mil? So the Mishnah Berurah always says 18 minutes. The Mishnah Berurah always says a mil is 18 minutes. So others disagree. They say it's really 22 and a half minutes. Others say it's 24 minutes, all based on the Gemara and Pesachim. How do you read the Gemara and Pesachim? So let's say, for argument's sake, 18 minutes. So let's say I live, I want to daven a shul. And I live in such a location that it's going to take me half an hour to get to shul. But it's not going to take half an hour because the distance between me and the shul takes half an hour. No, there are mountains, there are buildings, I have to walk arum and arum, and I have to climb up and down and up and down. If you would go as the crow flies, it would have been less than 18 minutes, but you can't go that way. The building's in the way, the highway's in the way, so you have to go around and around. So the Mishnah says that the Tchum Shabbos, the Alpay Mama, that you're allowed to walk, doesn't depend on how long you're going to be walking. You're going to be walking for an hour. But if the distance, as the crow flies, is really less than Alpay Mama, so that's considered Toch HaTchum. So how do you measure this? How do you measure? Let's say you have the houses, let's say, in a circular shape. Usually you start a yishuv, so you have 10 families move in, each one builds a house. Then they start expanding, so by expanding, so it's going to be approximately in a circular shape. So if you have a circle, it's not approximately rectangular. If approximately rectangular, so just fill in the rectangle. Approximately circular, so you figure northeast, southwest, kifi ruchas oilam. You take a map and you draw like that. Now how do you draw your alpayim amo? So you have to measure somehow. So what do you do if there are mountains, there are valleys, there are hills, there are buildings over there? How do you go through the mountains? So the Mishnah has a funny din. The Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. You have to use a heavy rope that's 50 yamas, and you have to use alpayim. You want to have 2,000. So how many times does 50 go into 2,000?
40.
Nachama, we have to know plain arithmetic. Nachama, 20 times 50.
It's
1,000. We want to have 2,000, so it's going to be 40. So 40. So you have to take, instead of taking, how would we measure today? There must be a way to measure our pi mama, an easy way. Take a map and you draw. So the Mishnah says you don't take a map and you draw. No, you got to do it this way. It's learned out from a pasuk. Which pasuk? The Gemara says, it sounds like a real din. The Gemara says, Meno hanimili, here on the top of Nun Chesam and Aleph in the Gemara. Meno hanimili, how do you know this din? You have to measure a long distance. Alpai mama, you have to take a rope of 50 yamas and use it 40 times. What do you take? If you're going to take one long rope, that's going to be alpai mama and hold it once, that's not going to be a precise measurement. It's going to be sagging all over the place. Mm-hmm. But isn't there a more intelligent way to measure? And Moses says, no, this is the way you have to measure. Learn that from a post. You know how to know you have to measure each time with the rope, the heavy rope of 50 amos. Amarav Yud Amarav, the Amakor is based on the Pasuk, that same Pasuk. It says the Mishkan was 100 amos long and 50 amos wide. And it says, Verochav Chamishim Bachamishim. And it was wide 50 by 50. It's not wide 50 by 50. So the Gemara says, we learn out from that pasuk that you take the 100 by 50, make it into a square of 70 and a third by 70 and a third. That's what it means, chamishim chamishim. You have to make the 5,000 square amis into a square area, and that's significant. The shear of 70 amis is significant for the hilchos eir of it. But the Gemara says an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara says, shamis minotarti. Learn out two dinim from the same pasuk. You learn out from the pasuk that the width of the Mishkan should be 50, and how should you measure the 50? V'roichav chamishim, you should measure it b'chamishim, you should measure it with a rope that's 50 amas wide. That's the way, and the Gemara says, that's the way to measure whenever there's a din menator, that you have to measure things long distances, you got to measure with a rope of 50 amas. Here you have to measure 50 amas 40 times, so be it, so you got to measure 40 times. Is that a funny din?
So any times the din that you did, like I ever used,
yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. So here the Mishnah says, "Loy pachas v'lo yoiser." You're not allowed to use a rope 100 amos long and only use it 20 times. No, you got to use 50 amos long and use it 40 times. So what do you do if you have a mountain there? So the Gemara says you have a map. And you draw on your map northeast, southwest. You made it into a rectangle, kefi ruchas ha'olam. So if you have over here a valley or a mountain, then you can't go that way. So you drew on the map a line. So you walk a little bit instead of going. Let's say here's the city. Here's the middle of the city. So instead of going from the middle of the city, alpai mama this way, you have a mountain. You have a valley. So go over here and measure. The mountain or the valley gets in the way. So measure over here. 50, 50, 50, 50 until you got rid of your mountain or your valley, and then you come back to the middle. You draw a line based on your map. You got to have good maps, and you got to be able to calculate where is it considered straight. Then you bump into a mountain or a valley over here. So you go over here and you measure another 50, 50, 50, and you bump into another mountain or a valley. So either you go further there or further here. Each time you keep on drawing lines and you keep on going 50 yards.
But you have to have, what if the mountain is bigger? Then there is no
way. Well, what if there's a mountain all over the place? Right. There's no place. So then the Mishnah goes weiter. What do you do? Gilahar. So if you get a mountain, so then it belays brera, so then you visualize, then you go the way we would calculate. You visualize as if everything would be flat. And the way the crow flies, and then you draw it on a map and you go weiter. But really, the more correct way to measure.
But then you're not doing it with a rope.
Yeah, so that's the halacha. You're supposed to do with a rope of 50 yamas whenever it's possible. And if you can't do it here, you move north, you move south, and you try to have everything aligned. And then sometimes, better than to calculate just on the map, alpai mama would be if you have, let's say, a very steep slope and you can climb down and climb up. So the Mishnah tells you, the Mishnah and the Gemara gives you details how to calculate what is the distance across, but if you go down and go up, what's going to be the distance across? So the Gemara says this way to calculate is absolutely not too precise, and it's going to come out lahakel over here. You're going to be, the tchum is going to be further than it really should be, but the whole din of tchum is only midrabanan anyway, so nishgefelach. So the Gemara says that this din, that we can use a calculation that's not so precise. So the Gemara says on Nun Ches on the base, right before the Mishnah, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Ein Mekadrim. Mekadrim means you visualize as if you drilled a hole through the mountain. Mm. So sometimes you have no choice. You have mountains and valleys all over the place. You can't go further north, you can't go further south, you can't go with the ropes 50 yamas, and you can't go climb down and make a whole calculation. You have no way. So you visualize as if you're drilling a hole through the mountain, you're going there.
What about walking? Each step is on foot. So
that's if it's flat. Everything is flat. But here the shadow is up and down, up and down. So the din doesn't depend on how long. Right. So even though it's going to take you much longer, but there's still Torchat Tchum. The Tchum is measured as if everything would be flat. So we don't really have the Mishnah doesn't tell you a precise way to calculate. The Mishnah gives you an approximate way, and it's going to come out lahokel. You're going to really be going further than Alpai Mama. So the Gemara says this kula is only by Tchum Shabbos, because the whole din of Tchum is only with the Rabbanan. However, Emekadrim loy beegla rufav loy baori miklam mepnei she'ein shel Torah. If you're talking about the Ori Miklot, they gave 48 cities, the Sheish Ari Mikla with an additional 42 Ari Mikla, we spoke about a little bit last week, the Ari Halvim, the Memches Ari Halvim, the 48 cities that were given to Levim in the end of Chumash Bamidbar. So the din is that not only if the Ritzech B'Shegig has to run away to one of the Ari Miklot, not only if he's inside the Ari Miklot, is it Kolet, if he's Teuchat Chum, it's also Kolet. So that's a din deraisa. It's a matter of life and death. If he's Teuchat Chum, then the Goel Adam is not allowed to kill him. If the Goel Adam kills him, we press murder charges against the Goel Adam. If he's chutz l'chum, Goel Adam is permitted to kill him. We pass the Sinishke mitzvah, it's only a reshus. He's permitted to kill him. If he kills him, he's not going to be chayiv misa. So there you have to measure more precisely. You don't have these leniencies.
Rabbi, the ramifications of not having a correct measurement on Erevin, chum, is violating one of the Lam Tesmachos. So you're going back to, this is a daraisa. I mean, granted, the measuring for the Ega Rufa is
which one of the Lamed has Melachos are you violating?
Walking on Tchum Shabbos on Shabbos.
So that's what we did. Not carrying.
What beyond Tchum Shabbos?
So the Rebbe Akiva's opinion is that Tchum and Alpai Mama is the rice. 1 mil. Alpai Mama is a din the rice. The Gemara says Rebbe Akiva's opinion was outvoted. His opinion was not accepted. So according to the simple reading of the Bavli, there's bechlal no din of Tchum and the rice. So the riff at the end of the first parak quoted the Yerushalmi, what right 12 mil would be deraisa. Okay, Machne Yisrael in the midbar was 12 mil by 12 mil. The Gemara says, so if you go more than 12 mil away from your city, the riff and the Rambam and the Mechaber Rabbi Yisrael Karpas, and that's deraisa.
So you're saying we're not going to make such a mistake?
We're not going to go anywhere near that. And the Ramah Paskin that even the Yud Beis Mil is also only the Rabban. The Ramah Paskin for Ashkenazim like Tesus and the Rosh, that there's no Truma that's deraisa at all. So that's what the Gemara says. The coolest that we allow imprecise measurement is only going to get the Tchumen on Shabbos al Payim Amma, because it's only the Rabbanan make me makel zayin. But with respect to Egla Rufa, which city brings the Egla Rufa has to be also Egla Rufa is very surprising. You also measure the way the crow flies. I would have thought you measure which city is the closest to the cholol, to the murdered body, by walking or by riding horseback. So which one is closer? They have to go up and down, up and down. That's further. I would have thought that the city that's closer in traveling time should bring the Egel HaRufa. The Gemara says no. The city that's closer, the way the crow flies. Also, the same din for Hilcha Shabbos is over there for Egel HaRufa. But the leniencies that you makel by Tchum Shabbos don't carry over to Egel HaRufa. They try to be more precise. And the Tchum for Ori Mikla, that's a real din deraisa. It's a matter of life and death. So they have to be more precise.
So by Egel HaRufa, he's trying to determine where the murderer comes from.
Yeah.
In other words, I mean,
He's not gonna go through the mountain.
That's what I would have thought. That's what I would have thought. You measure up and down. So the Gemara says no. That just like by Trum Shabbos, you go the way the crow flies. Egla roof also. Very surprising. Yeah. Usually loyplug you find on Din of the Rabbana. He have a loyplug on a Din Daraisa. Very surprising, yeah.
For Aryan Miklat, does he get 2,000 amas, or does he get Yud Beis Mil?
2,000 amas, no.
So Yud Beis Mil is only for the form, it's not the global.
Yeah, because that's the Pasuk says in the end of Bamidbar that we spent time last week. And the Mem Ches Ari Halvim, it says you should give two Mados Michutzler Alpaimam, right? The first 1,000 amas is the Migrosh, when nothing should be. No vegetables should be growing. Trees you can plant, Gemara's. No vegetables should be planted. No grass. And the next 1,000 amas is for the trum. That toch trum is koilet on the retzeach. So that says beferish the trum for ori miklat purposes. That is koilet the retzeach. There the shiras alpaim amas. So Rabbi Akiva got it from here. If that's the trum for ori miklat purposes, so that's the trum for Shabbos purposes. And the chachamim say no. That either the whole din of trum and for Shabbos only the rabbanon. Or the trum is a yud beis mil, but it's not alpaim amas.
So where does the yud beis mil come from?
The pasuk says al yetzi ish mimkomo. No one should leave. That's the gemara. The end of the first parak has that pasuk al yetzi ish mimkomo. So there are two ways to read the pasuk. So the gemara says the pashtus is al yetzi. The mon is not going to fall down on Shabbos. Every day of the week, Sunday through Friday, they went out with their buckets, with their kelim, pots and pans, and they would collect the mon from the ground. They would put it into the pots and pans and carry the pots back in the house. There was no Erev in the Midbar. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hal Yetzi Yishmim Kom of the Kelov Biyodo. You shouldn't, no one should carry the buckets out on Shabbos because there's no Erev you're not allowed to carry. And don't bother going out because the man is not going to fall. There's going to be a double portion of man on Erev Shabbos. So don't carry on Shabbos because you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Number one. Number two, there isn't going to be anything to carry. There won't be any man. So the Gemara says, that's the real pshat in the Pasuk. Hal Yetzi Yishmim Kom of the Kelov Biyodo. But there's another level of interpretation. Al yetzi ish mim kom, you're not allowed to walk chutz l'tchum. The makam is the city, or if you live all by yourself in the mountains, so your makam is your home, and you only have alpai mama around your home, so you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. So the Gemara says, according to the Tana who holds that tchum is there, right? So that's the makar. Al yetzi ish mim kom. That's the Gemara, the end of the first parak, the last line. In the first parak, they quote that pasuk in Shmos, parak tezayin. It's talking about the man, about collecting the man. So the Gemara says the pasuk shot in the pasuk means the kelo biyada shouldn't carry any pans to put them to carry the man in. And if you hold that chumen is deraisa, then you interpret no one should go chutz l'mkom. So the Gemara has it. The Gemara says it says in the chumash machne Yisrael was from Ovel Ashitim until another city. It says. When the Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, they traveled in a certain configuration. There were four Degolim, and Machna Yehuda was here. There were four different Machnos. So how big was that whole big configuration? So the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim, Rabbi Babachana, was there. When he traveled in the Midbar, he had a tour guide who was an Arab who was showing him all the different sites to see. So he showed him the location where Machna Yisrael was. So Rabbi Babachana, the Gemara has the Agadatim, Bava Basra, all the stories by Rabbi Babachana when he's traveling with this tour guide with the Arab. So the Gemara says over here in Erevin a few times, Gemara says he saw the location where the Machne Yisrael was, and it was Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil. So if you say, if you hold that Tchumen is there, I said, because it's Al Yetzi Yishmim Komo, the question is how much is the Mokom? So if you put two and two together, the Machne Yisrael was Yud Beis Mil, so that's why the Yerushalmi quoted by the Rif at the end of the first pair came up with this Shir. That to go out Yud Beis Mil Chutz La'ir, that'll be an Issa Derais.
So you'd be allowed to visit, like say, a relative. If you were one Shevet, you could have gone to the end of the Machna to visit somebody else, but you couldn't go beyond that. So if you were able to traverse the entire 12 mil,
I think we assumed the whole 12 mil probably was one big city. Right. They're probably so close to each other, it was like Yir Asuya circle, not Kikeshes. There were houses. Everybody was all around there. They were only there temporarily. They could leave tomorrow. So the Gemara asked Akasha, if you only have people living there, nomads living there temporarily, so it doesn't have the status of an ear. So the Gemara says, no, since they traveled al piyah shem yachna, al piyah shem yiso, so it's considered as if it was kavua. That's what the Gemara discussed on Nun Hayim Beis, that we learned already. So the whole, there were houses all over the place, so that's considered one big city. Then they had, outside of that configuration, they had Vaita they could go. So because the Machne Yisrael Basaf was Yud Beis Mil, so that's what led the Rishalmi to say that Yud Beis Mil outside of that square is the Shir of Trum Shabbos. How far can you not go? The Shir of the Machne Yisrael itself, you can't go outside of the Machne. This is an interesting halacha that the Mishnah tells you have to measure dafke with a chevel shel chamisha mamo, and the Gemara presents it as if it's a din daraisa. That's the way, whenever possible. That's the way v'rechel chamishim v'chamishim, the mochatzra mishkan should be 50 amos wide, measured with a rope of 50 amos wide. That's the halacha. It could be that this is the explanation to the strange din. Here the Tosfos on Nun Tes Amud Aleph has a comment on the Mishnah. Take a look at the next Mishnah. On Nun Ches Amud Beis. Nun Ches, the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Beis. Ein Modinim Ela Min HaMumche. Rashi says, Abaki B'Medido. Who's every time Dick and Harry's going to measure Tchum Shabbos? No, so the Rav in the city should pick on some person who's in this field, an expert, and he should determine where the Tchum Shabbos is. You have to have a mumcha. Fine. You don't leave it up to each and every person. The shaila is, the person figured out this mumcha, figured out the city limits, a rectangular shape. Then he's going to draw a line, alpai mama, to the right and to the left and to the north and the south. Then he's going to draw a line. So let's say he measures alpai mama to the right. Then the city is so big. Alpai mama to the right, alpai mama to the right, then he draws a line. The alpai mama on the top is longer than alpai mama on the bottom. Something went wrong over here. He uses 40 times this rope of 50 amas long, and for some reason or another, on the top is much wider than on the bottom. So obviously he made a mistake somewhere. So the shaila is, so how do you, let's say we already declared that this is the city limits. Because the city was this shape, right? It doesn't look approximately like a rectangle, so we made northeast, southwest. So this is the city limits. So then you have to measure Alpai Mama over here, so he says it's over here. Alpai Mama over here comes out to be over here. So he's going to draw a line like this. He sees that it's crooked. So he made a mistake somewhere. So the shaila is, which one is the mistake? So you have to go the Chumrah. So instead of going all the way out here, you have to go parallel to over here. You draw over here. So the Mishnah says, no. Since the whole din of Truman is only the Rabbanon, we paskin. Truman Alpai Mama. Rabbi Akiva Shita is that Truman is a din deraisa Alpai Mama. So then you would have to go the Chumrah. Sufik would go the Chumrah. But we don't, nobody paskins like Rabbi Kiva. The only toss up is whether Yud Beis Mil is there, I said the Rabbanon. So since the whole din of Chumrah is only the Rabbanon, so the expert who's measuring, and over here it came out to be, here is our Paimon, here it's over here, so you go the Kula, and you assume he made a mistake on the Chumrah de Geshir, and he draws the line over here. Then the same thing over here. Not only do you have a right to be mekel once, you have a right to be mekel twice, let's say. Here he measured our Paimon here, and here he measured our Paimon here. You assume he made a mistake over here, and he draws the line over here. What if two different people were measuring? One person is in charge of two mumchim. So one person measured over here, he got to here. The other person measured, he got over here. So somebody made a mistake. So do you have the right to assume that this one is a bigger expert than that one? So the Mishnah says, Vaiti golahaka. Whether the same person came up with two different calculations and obviously one is wrong, or two different people came up with two calculations on the same side and obviously one of them is wrong, because the two lines have to be parallel. The line at the edge of the city has to be parallel to the line of the Alpai Mama. So that's what the Mishnah says. Riba l'mokamecho, demiyat l'mokamacher. On one corner it comes out, it's further, and the other corner is closer. So you go the hakel, shamil makam shariba, you go the hakel on both of them. Riba l'echo, demiyat l'echo, two different people are measuring. So one of them came up with a stricter shia, a smaller distance. One came up with a bigger distance, shamil merubah, then you go the hakel. So then the Mishnah says, who has nemanis to determine where the Tchum Shabbos is? Let's say people have been living in this community for 150 years, a new community, 150 years. And the Rabbanim years ago determined where the Tchum Shabbos is, and the village has not grown. If they keep on building more houses, you have to keep on declaring again. Where's the new Tchum Shabbos? You have to draw the lines of the rectangle all over again. If the city keeps on expanding, the city is not expanding, the city stays the same. same size. So let's say somebody tells me, he remembers that the previous rabbi said you can go up until here. This is the end of the Trum Shabbos. Do you say Erecha Nemen B'Yisurim Anat? So the Mishnah says, Afilu Eved, Afilu Shivcho, Ne'emorim Laimar, Ad Kan Trum Shabbos. Even in Eved.
That's something that could be verified. It's not a question of having a Misurim or something like that. You're talking about the difference of a
Misurim. Not a Misurim. I don't know where the Trum is.
No, because this Eved has a Misurim that was here.
Not a Misurim. He says, I remember.
He was told.
My wife gives me dinner, so she tells me this is kosher chicken. How does she know? The butcher told her. How does the butcher know? Because the delivery man told him. How does the delivery man know? Because the sheikh told him.
There you have no way of determining it. You have to rely on the witness. In other words, you don't know where the shechita was.
Okay.
You're relying on that witness.
Yeah.
But here, this is a question of measurement which can be determined.
So the question is, do you in every generation, do you have to measure all over again? You're going to come up with the same answer. You have to measure again? Or would we rely on 8 mipi 8? Somebody measured it 150 years ago. We know the village didn't grow. The same houses that are there here are there now, were there 150 years ago. So the Mishnah says 8 mipi 8 is good, but not mechuyav to measure all over again. So the Mishnah says, even an Eved, even a Shivcho, ha-ne'monim. Why? It says, because you make it. She'olam ha-chacham ha-sadav ha-lachmer ha-lo-lo-hakel. The whole din of Tchum and Nizonim with the Rabbanan. So therefore, you make it. If you're not sure how far it is, you make it. And you make it, afilo Eved, afilo Shivcho. Why is that called make it? An Eved doesn't have ne'monis. Let's say I have an Eved Kenaini. An Eved Kenaini doesn't mean an Eved Ivri, his mom is Jewish. The Eved Ivri's mom is Jewish. Talking, I never kind.
Well,
he has nemonis like an isha. Right. So an isha wouldn't have nemonis. Let's say I go home. My wife tells me that this is kosher food. So I'm not allowed to believe her.
You could trick him.
Huh? So what's the Eved? The Eved is chayv mitzvus ki isha. The Eved is mal v'tov al shem Eved, and his chayv mitzvus like an isha. So why is that a chiddush? And the reason why they have Naman is because it's only the Rabbanon to begin with, so therefore we're Mekel. So that's what Taisus asks. Taisus, Rektakasha. Here, Taisus, Nun Tesam and Aleph. The Truman the Rabbanon. Since Truman is only the Rabbanon, that's why you're Mekel. So Taisus, Hakasha, Mashma, from the Mishnah would appear that if it would have been a Dindaraisa, the Eved and the Eved and the Shivcha would
like
not be Chumas, believed.
Like Beit Chumash says, so the same thing.
Yeah. They ask the same question there, right. Yeah. Yeah. Here they tell you to look in Psochem Dav Dalet, the same Gemara, yeah. So Taisus asks, Mashma, Yehavi Deraisa, if the din of Tchumim would have been Deraisa like according to Rabbi Akiva Shita, Loi Mehemni, they would not have been believed. The Eved and the Shivcha would not be believed. Why not? Anisha is not Bagloip, Dan Erech Nem Visurim. Why not? A woman is not nemenis. Tosis has a machlekes with Rashi. How do you know that there's a din of Erecha Nem Visurim? So Tosis claims is based on is learned out from a pasuk by a zovo that a woman who's a zovo has to count shivinikim. The sofra law, the atzma, no one else is there. She's making the bedikas and she tells us that that she's tahira, and then she's nemenis to say that she went to the mikveh. So to say that she went to the mikveh, Tosis says that's nemenis because it's biyoda. That's a new nemanis. Eidechot is, even if the din would have been that Eidechot is not neman, there are cases where Eidechot is not neman, but Eidechot, who has biyodai, the woman says tavalti. It's biyodai to be tavol. So that's a din. Eidechot is neman, even, let's say, Eidechot neman bisum, when it comes to Yisavahet, all you need is Eidechot. When it comes to Dovish Ebiyar, Eidechot is not good, you need two Eidim. What if Habal Shama Gerashti Ashishti? The husband says, so the Gemara says, since it's biyoda, the husband can give her get right now. So he says, I just divorced my wife today. So even though she doesn't have any get, and she doesn't have any ptur, she doesn't have any proof, they can't prove it, the Baal Shammai, Rabbi Yechanan says, HaBaal Shammai Gerash Neshtishni Neman, because biyoda legarsha. So that's a din, even though you need Shnei Eidim Ksherim, by Dovish Abiyerva, but whenever it's biyoda, you have Nemanas. Well, the Moshe, let's say, Mominus, when it comes a case of Dina Mominus, that the Pasuk says, Al Pishnei Eidim, Al Bishloshu Eidim, Yochum Dov, you have to have Shnei Eidim. So the Gemara says, let's say a man dies, and the children are sitting Shiva, and I go and I tell him, I go to Bimarach Mavala, I say, by the way, your father once took me into the backyard, and he walked with me 20 steps to the right of this tree, then he dug a hole, and he buried $1 million there, and he told me that $1 million belongs to the next door neighbor. And he told me that after he dies, I should tell the children about it, that they should give the money to the next donor. So they dig and they find $1 million there. So the Gemara says they can say thank you very much to the man, the nice man who came, and they can keep the money. They're not mukhayif to give it to the next neighbor, because Eid Echad is not believed when it comes to mamon. But what if the man comes in the middle of Shiva, he says, your father once took me to Central Park, and he walked 10 blocks to the right of the tree over there, in this corner, and he dug a hole, and he put $1 million over there, and he said it belongs to the next neighbor. And he told me I should tell you after he dies. So then if they go and they find the money, they do have to give it to the next neighbor. Why? Because I could have gone to Central Park on my own. I don't need them. It's biyadi. It's biyadi. I can go to Central Park. I'm not going to go in the middle of the day. They'll arrest me. I'm going to dig a hole. So I'll go at 3 o'clock in the morning when no one's watching, and I'll take the money. So when it's biyado, the din is that Eid Echad is believed by Mominus. You wouldn't say Eid Echad by Dovish Abiyerva wouldn't be believed. The Baal Shama Gerashti Yasishti, the Baal wouldn't be believed biyado unless the din is the same by Mominus, because you learn how Dova Dova mi Mamin. Pasuk says ki motzaba ervas dover. The man has to divorce his wife if he ascertains that she's a soita. How does he ascertain? Ki motzaba. How did he ascertain? So the Gemara says shnei made him, because he learned zereshava dover dover mi mamon. And by mamon it says apishnei edim apishloish edim yakum dover. Yakum dover goes on mamon. There's another pasuk that's kemat the same. Apishnei made him apishloish edim yumus ames. So that's there's one pasuk that din in the fashis needs to aid him. Then there's one pasuk Yakum Dava that you need two Adim for a Dini Mamanis. Then there's Xerishava, Dava Dava Mi Mamma, that Dava Shabi Erva needs two Adim. So the Gemara says this is an exception to the rule. If you have Eid Echad in Mamin, but it's Biyadi, I have control over the situation. I can walk into your backyard. Your backyard, you have a fence around it. So it's not Biyadi. So if I tell you that your father hid the money in the backyard, that's not biyadi. So Eid Echad is not bagleip. And even though you would never know about the money in a million years, how would you know to dig and find money? So I'm the only one who gave you the secret that the money is there. You don't have to believe me as far as the money belonging to the neighbor. You can keep the money. But if the money is in Central Park, it's biyadi, then he is believed. So similarly, Tosis says, Tosis claims that there's a Gemara in Yevamos. It's a question how to read the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know what's the din of Eid Echad keneged ha-chazokah. Eid Echad keneged ha-chazokah. It goes like this. Let's say a farmer in Eretz Yisrael, so he's a religious Jew, so you're not allowed to eat any fruits or vegetables until you mafresh all the trumas and maizes, otherwise everything is tevel. So he's mafresh truma gedolah and he puts it in a separate container. This container is labeled truma. So whenever he meets up with a kohen, he gives him away the truma. Then he has another container where he puts in maaser rishon. So the maaser rishon he gives to a levi. Then he has a third container that's labeled maaser sheni. So the maaser sheni, either you bring it to Yerushalayim, you eat it with kedusha v'tahara, or you poida. So the only one who can be poida is the farmer himself, or someone whom the farmer authorizes. No one else can come and take my maaser sheni and be poida without my permission. If I give permission, if I give authorization, then they have a right to be poida in my maaser sheni. So the Gemara has a shaila. Let's say the man died, and the children are sitting shiva, and I come to be Menachmo, and I tell them, the container that has Maaser Sheni, they all know that it's Maaser Sheni. They're not allowed to eat it, Chutz Yerushalayim, until you're going to be Poida. I tell them, I was watching your father was Poida the Maaser Sheni. So that's not Biyodi. That's not Biyodi. It's an Eid Echad and an Isurim, but it's not Biyodo. So Tosis learns the Gemara, that that's an ibay delay of shita. What's the din? And Tosis paskins, there are more paskins like Tosis, that the Eid Echad is not bagloik. Eid Echad keneged hachazaka is not believed. But if it's, so let's say a woman says she went to the mikveh, so the husband knows that she was a nida. In the days of the Gemara, the women used to wear different clothing when they were nida, because they had to advertise to all the neighbors. Everyone had to know. Today it's only relevant for the husband. It's nobody else's business. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the minig is nogala hastel el tfilosim, that the women don't advertise to other people when they're going to the mikveh. It's no one else's business when they're going to be with their husband. That's a private affair. But Bizmana Gemara, it was relevant for everyone. She's going to touch someone. They're going to touch her. They're all going to become tamei. The clothing that she's wearing is tamei. So Bizmana Gemara, the practice was that a woman would be lavsha big de nidusa. They would have to wear different clothing. That's why single girls had to go to mikveh also. The whole relevance on the mikveh is only for married people. So we don't permit a single girl to go to the mikveh. What's she going to go to mikveh is going to lead her to sin. But in the days of the Gemara, even the single girls had to go to mikveh also. Whatever they would touch would be tummy. The bed that they sat on, the clothing that they wore, the food that they would touch, the pots and pans, everything would become tummy. They used to have separate beds. In the days of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says the woman used to have two different beds. She had a bed that she slept in when she was in need, and a bed that she slept in when she was tahira. Otherwise, she has to take the bed to the mikveh every month. The Mishnah Mikvah talks about the husband taking the bed to the mikveh, and the bed is too tall, so the bed can't fit. It can't fit into the mikveh. So the Mishnah says they'll push it into the mud. They didn't have tile floors; they had a mud floor. They push it into the mud, so it'll be the top of the bed will be below the surface of the water. But there's a chatzitz on the bottom. Well, what does it help? So the Mishnah says a cheshbon, that the water comes first. Before you push the legs of the bed into the floor of the mikveh, the water's going to be there first, and it's a kosher tefillah. So why is he taking the bed to the mikveh? He doesn't want everybody to become tummy again. So that's why the Mishnah says whoever could afford it used to have two beds. One bed when the woman was tahira, one bed when the woman was tamei. So let's say the woman tells the husband, so everybody knows the woman is tamei. All the people in the neighborhood know.
Very close, she
does. Love should be gdei nidusa. She's wearing different clothes. So then one day she comes home, she tells the husband, tovalti. And say, Rechot keneged hachazoka. How is the woman that manis? It's the Rechot keneged hachazoka. Tosfos says, Rechot keneged hachazoka is no good. So the answer is, Sihata brera to go to mikveh now. It's biyada. So whenever it's biyada, even by Dovisha Bierva is good. And even by Dini Mamanis, Rechot is good if it's biyada. So Rechot is by Isurim, Rechot in Isurim keneged hachazoka. If it's biyada, is avada bagloi.
How do you believe it when she says she's in need to begin with? Because there's a chazaka that she was told that she was tar. It's like a vicious cycle. Yeah. Originally, when she says to husband, I'm in need, why she believe there's a chazaka this morning when she woke up, she was in the state of tar. And now she says, I'm, but that's a chazaka against the Nedefa.
Because there's a chazaka, he's going to get the Nedefa. It's also a chazaka.
I don't know. You're asking how is the woman a menace to say that she's a neither? The husband shouldn't believe her. The husband shouldn't believe her.
When she says to Hoyron, he doesn't believe her. When she says to Hoyron,
she should say it's only Shavi Anav Shechatichet Yisura. And the woman shouldn't be a menace to say.
It's inevitable that it's going to happen.
That's what I'm saying.
When? Yeah. I don't know, it's an interesting question. I don't know, but it certainly is that the woman is the man. It's an interesting question.
It's the same chazak that she had before, now she has the need, and now she says, I'm Torah. Same chazak she had that morning.
Since we believe that
the chazak is inevitable, I'm Torah is now.
Since we believe that she's in the chazak of Torah.
No, Pesha Asa, Taisa says, Pesha Asa, Pesha Iter, Taisa Shita is only Torah Kadei Dibur. Let's say a woman comes to town. She looks single, we don't know. If a woman comes down, she's wearing a shetel. So either she had chemotherapy and she lost her hair, and that's why she's wearing a shetel, or she was once married, that's why. Maybe she's still married. So the woman says, Eishisi shayisi minis garashti. So that's a peshos a peshita. She says, Terch de diva. But if the woman says now, she comes with a shetel, then she says, Eishisi niskadashti. Okay? And then she says a month later, Viniz Garashti. So then Taisa says that's not called Pesha Asa Peshit. That's me Turkey Dibur.
She made herself awesome some month later. She didn't happen right away. A month later, she made herself
awesome. So Taisa says it doesn't apply. Rashi seems to disagree. Oh. Rashi seems to hold. And Shulchan Aruch, some Achrayim want to pass like Rashi. That a Pesha Asa Peshit doesn't have to be Turkey Dibur. But Taisa's, the famous Shita is Taisa's Shita. That has to be Turkey de Dima. So that's the shayla. How is the woman that managed to say that she was Tevel in the mikveh? So the woman is that managed to say Tevel in the mikveh, that's biyada. That's not a problem. How do you know the woman is that managed to say that she made Bidika Shivinikim? That's not biyada. Once the woman starts having a Riyaz Dam, it may or may not continue the next day, the next day, the next day. Oh, so the pasuk says Safra Law. So Taisa says that pasuk is the mocker of the din of Erecha Nehme B'Yisur. That's the mocker. Yeah. That's not called keneged hachazaka. That's not called keneged hachazaka. When the woman says, I made bidika shivinikim, just because she had a riyaz dam yesterday doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a riyaz dam today. May or may not continue today. But that's not called keneged hachazaka. When the woman says, tovalti, that's clearly keneged hachazaka. She was tameya for a couple of days. She was tameya for a few days. Now she says, I became Torah, that's Erechot Keneged HaHazaka. When she just says that I made Bedikah Shivinikiyim, so that's not called Keneged HaHazaka. So Tesis claims that is the mocker of the din. That pasuk, V'safra lo shivas yamim, v'achat titar, She counts the bedikas. She does the shivin and kim all on her own. That's the makar of eid echad nami misurim. So according to that taisvis, you have a feirush pasuk that eid echad nami misurim applies to women. Our taisvis holds it doesn't apply to women. Our taisvis holds eid echad nami misurim does not apply to women. Taisvis says,
how
is that possible?
Because you learn it from women.
So Taisus holds that that's an exception to the rule. The rule is Eidech Nemisurim does not, this Taisus holds, Eidech Nemisurim does not apply to women. Rav Soloveitchik told over a story that when the Rabbanim in Poland used to get together, so first they would summon, they would be mechabit someone to say Divrei Torah, and then after they said Divrei Torah, then they discussed what was on the agenda, whatever politics they had to discuss, what the Gzeres HaMalchus, whatever they gathered together for. So on one occasion, when they started with the Divrei Torah, Rabbi Zalcharif said, when it comes to the Olam HaEmes, he's going to sue Rabbi Zalcharif. Rabbi Zalcharif said he's going to sue the Nadi Behuda for 5 rubles. Why? Because Nadi Behuda has a famous tshuva to the Becha David. The Becha David was a Sfardish Rav in Constantinople. And he wrote a Shadash tshuva, Sfardish style Shadash tshuva, that's called Divrei HaEmes. They reprinted it about 30 years ago. So the Divrei HaEmes is like Sfardish style, just a likut, just like an encyclopedic essay. And he just quotes all the Marmakamis. He doesn't write, a lot of times the Sfardish style and Tshuvas, they don't write anything new. They just write essays where they collect all the opinions. Rabbi Zalcharif was a big bucky. He didn't need that sefer. He didn't need the Marmakamis. So the Nadi Behuda had a whole Asik. There was Nadi Behuda for a while lived in the same village before he moved to Prague. He lived in a little village, Yampola, in Poland. So he lived in the same village with the Baal Shem Tov. So there was a man whose wife was Mizana, and they were supposed to get divorced. And the man was a shtickle learned person, and he made a whole psak on himself that he doesn't have to divorce his wife. And he got the governor, the government, to say that anyone who's mitzi laz on his wife, that she's a zayna, they're going to put him in prison. So they were both very upset about this, the Baal Shem Tov and the Nadi Behuda. So the Baal Shem Tov announced in public that the woman is a Zaina, she's Asura Labayla, and he had to skip town. He had to leave, that they shouldn't put him in prison. And the Nadi Behuda was the Rav in town, so he didn't want to leave. So he wrote a whole tshuva that the woman is Asura Labayla, but he wrote the tshuva as if the Shaila was sent to him from Constantinople. Shaila didn't come from Constantinople, it came from his own backyard. So he wrote this tshuva, and it's printed in the Shaila Tshuva is Nadi Behuda, in the first Chelek, Simen Ayin Beis, very long tshuva. And he has at this balabas, it had 7 different, I think, 6 or 7 different tzdodim lahakil. Why the woman is muteris lebailo? So he has one section, stiris heta aleph, stiris heta beis, stiris heta gimel. He rips apart the first heta that the man said, why the wife is muteris. He rips apart the second heta, he rips apart each heta, and then he comes to the conclusion, ishazu asu al bailo. So this tshuva that he wrote to the Becha David, he writes in the introductory line, L'chvod HaRav HaGoyin HaMefursim HaCharif and HaBaki. He writes all these beautiful titles. Bala Mechabes Sefer Shalosh HaTshuvas Divrei HaEmes. So Rabbi Zalcharif said, he saw the Nadi Behuda. Nadi Behuda lived way before him. So the Nadi Behuda writes with such titles about the Becha David, about the Shalosh HaTshuvas. So it was a rare Sefer. It was hard to get now. It's reprinted. You can get it. No one's buying it. So they have many copies in the stores. I don't know why they reprinted it. So at that time, he spent 5 rubles and he bought the Sefer. And he says he's going to, when he comes to the Olam HaEmes, he's going to sue the Nadi Behuda for the 5 rubles. The Sefer is worthless. It's not worth 5 rubles. So he said that was his Dvar Torah. He started to say, he's going to sue the Nadi Behuda. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was there. So he said, what do you say? Does Eid Echad Nami Misurim apply to women? So he says, what kind of a silly question? Of course, I come home, my wife gives me dinner, and I assume that everything is kosher. So he says the Becha David has in that safe a whole tshuva, a whole essay, where he collects this taisvus with the taisvus and psochem, a whole collection. It's a minority opinion, but it collects a whole position of Rishonim who say Eid Echad Nami Misurim doesn't apply to women, and the reason why you're allowed to rely on your wife is a different reason, because you know your wife is a frumim meidel. So that's chazak al chaver sheni moitzim mitachas yada dova sheni mesukan. The Gemara has a din if a religious person in the days of towards the end of the Bais Sheni period, they had Ami Haaretz, who were not so medactic and afroshes Trumas and Maishas. And then they had the Chaverim, the Frum Elche Yidin, who were medactic on Trumas and Maishas. So a Chaver was one who was careful about Trumas and Maishas. So the Gemara has a din, an observant Chaver dies, and he just brought in the peiros, the fruits and the vegetables and the tvua from the field that day, and he gets a heart attack and he dies the same day. So do you? And he didn't tell us whether it's gemaiset or not gemaiset. So do we have a right to eat all of the peiros in the house? Do we have to be concerned? He just took it in today and he got a heart attack. So maybe he didn't have a chance to be mafish to Chumas Mai. Maybe it's still tevel. It started off as tevel. So the Gemara says it's a ruva de leisikam chazok al chaver afrum ayit shenim oitzim etachz yara dav shenim sukan. He wouldn't leave non-kosher food in his house, and even though he died the same day, if there were a few hours, if he died as he brought it in, he got the heart attack, so then he didn't have a chance. But if he died a few hours later, we assume he had taken care of it, and that's a perfect ruva de leisikam. So that's what the Rishonim say. Not that a woman has nemonis. No, edecha nemisum does not apply to women. And the pasuk of the sofer lo liatzma is an exception to the rule for some reason or another. So what is the makar of eidech and emisum? So Rashi gives you a different makar in chumash. But the din of eidech and emisum geit nishton by women. But if I know the woman, it's my daughter, it's my wife, it's my sister, I know she's a religious woman, then it's not that she's nemenis, it's a ruba de leisa kamon that I know it's going to be kosher food.
Reputation. Based on the reputation of the person.
Not reputation. No, I personally know this person is very observant, so therefore there's a ruba de leisa kamon that it was taken care of. Take, for example, a cotton. Tosis quotes it in. A cotton has no nemonis to say that something is kosher. Or let's say, before Pesach, a lot of times the balabastas buy new pots and pans and new silverware, and they send the children to the mikveh, they should be tevel or lekel. So they usually send the child before bar mitzvah, the kid comes back, and even if he knows the din of tefillah kel, he says it was tevel or kel. So strictly speaking, the Gemara says that a cotton doesn't have nemanus. A cotton doesn't have nemanus to say that he took care of the tefillah kel. The Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Ksubis has a distinction. What's the din of a cotton shehigdil? The kid is now bar mitzvah, and he says about something that happened before his bar mitzvah. Is he bagloip? Is he believed to tell me now? A cotton shehigdil is he believed to say begad lusai mashiro bekatnusa. Let's say it's going to be his bar mitzvah. Let's say his bar mitzvah is coming up, and the family is having all the cousins, all the relatives, everybody's coming to eat by them on Shabbos. So the mother bought extra silverware, and she sent the child bekatnusa to be toivel everything, but they're not going to use it until Shabbos. So by the time it comes, they're not going to use it before. By the time it comes Shabbos, the kid is going to be bar mitzvah already. So then the kid will tell his mother, after his bar mitzvah, he's bar mitzvah on Friday, on Thursday. On Shabbos, they're having the party. So the kid will tell the mother on Shabbos, he was tevel everything properly on Monday. But Monday, he was still a cotton. So then the Mishnah draws a distinction between dinim deraisa and dinim derabban. If it's a din deraisa, a cotton shehigdil is not bagloip to say that he took care. Because you have to have tchilos of his sofa behechsha.
Yeah, but... He's in a state that we believe what he says.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter when he did it. We believe him.
So the Mishnah says it does matter. So the Mishnah says if it's a din derabbanon, then he's nemed lohayd begad lusa mashiro begad lusa. But if it's a din deraisa, let's say tefilas kelim on glasses. So we assume shulchan aruch, that's a machlek. We assume that's only the rabbanon. Most of the poskim assume tefilas kelim on silver and metal kelim is a din deraisa. Pasuk in chumash and tefilas kelim on glasses is only the rabbanon. So if the cotton will tell us lacha habar mitzvah that he was tevel the glasses before his bar mitzvah, and he knows the dinim no chatzitza and so, and he knows all the dinim to lower it below the water no chatzitza, so then it would be neman on the dinim derabbanan, but he wouldn't not be neman on the dinim deraisa.
And you say that the cotton is neman to talk about yichus, that he remembers that somebody was a kohen.
Right.
So this is the deraisa.
Right, so the Gemara asked that question. Tosis quotes that Gemara. So the Gemara says, what's the whole significance of the issue whether the man is a kohen or not to eat Truma Bizmanazeh? So Truma Bizmanazeh is only the Rabbanon. Since Truma Bizmanazeh is only the Rabbanon, so he's Neman. What the Mishnah has over there, the Kotten Shehigdil is going to tell us, no one knows where the Trum Shabbos is. So you can go measure it now. What's the problem? We're lazy. We don't want to waste our time to measure. So the kid says, I remember the rabbi told me, when I was in Cheder, when I was 9 years old, the rabbi told us we can go Chum Shabbos is up until here. So are we allowed to believe the Kotten or not? So the Gemara says, since the Aldina Chumin is only the Rabbanon, so the Kotten is Bagloip after his Bar Mitzvah. The Kotten Shehigdil is believed to say what he heard Bekatnusa. If Chumin would have been a Din Deraisa, like Rabbi Akiva's opinion, the Kotten would not be believed to say Begadlusa Masherah Bekatnusa. That's what Tosis is quoting over here. So Tosis here, the fantastic chidushim here in Tosis. So the Tosfos on Nun Tes Amud Aleph, Tchumin de Rabbanan. So Tosfos says, Mashma from this Mishnah, if Tchumin would have been the Raisa, if you would have followed the view of Rabbi Akiva, a woman would have not been believed, and Rabbi Knani would have not been believed. Anisha and Rabbi Knani would not be believed in Isurim. So Tosfos says, how can it be? V'afagav d'maisa m'chol yom. Sh'maminim l'noshim b'shchito. Tosfos, in days of Tosfos, used to have women shechting.
No, she took it to the
sheikh.
That's what they believe.
She took it to the sheikh. She took it to the sheikh, not that she shecht. In the beginning of Yerideya, there's a meaning that Noshim don't shecht. Because you have to have strength. The shechts are afraid that maybe the women will be weak and maybe they'll...
How was that? Was?
Yeah, if a woman shechted, it'll be good. That's but the minig is. But the minig is that
we
don't... Someone is watching, yeah. So Tosfos says, "V'afagav d'maisa m'chol yom shem maminim lenoshim b'shchito uvenikur to remove the chaylev and the gid anoshim and so on v'litram chala to be mafresh chala." The woman says that the chala was taken and it's not tevil; you're allowed to eat it. So Tosfos says, "Are you telling me the din of eidech and nemisim doesn't apply to women?" So they say, "Yeah." That's what the Becha Dovid quotes this time. Yeah, eidech and nemisim does not apply to women. The reason why the woman is nemen is anim shem tahavi biyoda. Because she had the ability to shecht. Even though she doesn't say that she shechted, she does know Hilchos Shechita. So Tosfos writes another place where she had the ability to learn Hilchos Shechita, and she could have learned it, and she could have done the Shechita herself. So whenever it's biyoda, even by Mominus, Eidechot is Neman when it's biyoda. Even by Dov Shebierba, Baal Shem Gerash Leisishti is Neman whenever it's biyoda. So when the woman says Tavalti, that's biyoda. So that for sure the woman is Neman, whenever it's biyoda. But Tosfos says, whenever it's taka not biyodai, let's say the Tchum Shabbos is not biyodai. So strictly speaking, an Isha should not be nemenis on Tchum Shabbos. So if it's my wife, and I know my wife is very frum, and she tells me, I heard from the rabbi that this is the Tchum Shabbos, so I know to believe her because...
But in order to know to measure it, people she knows from this rabbi...
No, that's not called biyodai. Biyodai means I could bring it about. I could bring about the result.
Well, why can't she measure?
Gesundheit, but the Tchum Shabbos happens by itself. No one is biyado for Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos either it is or it isn't. Shechita, you have control. People have control to do. Tovel and Mikveh Zayin, you have control to be Mafresh Truma, you have control. But the Tchum Shabbos either it is or it isn't. We have no say on the matter. So that's
just
what the...
witnessing.
Yeah. Whenever Eid Echad is Nemon, say MP8 is good. Yeah. So this is a mechudish diga Tosfos. This is a big chiddush what Tosfos says. Eidech and emisurim doesn't apply to women, and doesn't apply, but it applies to ganovim. Let's say there's a Jew who's strictly orthodox. He wears tefillin the rabbi in the tam, he has long pays and everything, but he's a crook. He's in business. He cheats everybody in business. So the din is, huh? There is no such thing. So he's not kosher aidus. He can't use him as an aid on a get or an aid on a chasana. The main is a rosh of the chumis. He can't accept him as an aid. But the din is he has nemanus on kashrus, because since in the area of kashrus he's careful, so he has nemanus. You see that a ganef who's pasul aidus, when you need two aiding sharing for mamanus and the fashus of dovish b'yervo, so a ganef is pasul aidus. But when they get erech b'isurim, the ganef is neman. So why is over here Manishtana, the women? Why should I say the woman is no good? They have a Knaini, why is it no good? So the answer is, Abshimin Shkop writes in his Sefer, in Hilchos Seidus there's a difference. A ganef is considered an eid pasul. A woman is not considered an eid at all. The Tumim writes that the Nesivus quotes from the Tumim that there are six people where we don't apply the rule of Nimtzechem Hem Karva Pasul. Nimtzechem Karva Pasul is a din. If you have three witnesses come to Bezin, and they all testify, they all say the same thing, and then Bezin realizes, what do we do? One of them is a ganef, and one of them is a cousin or a brother of the baldover. So you can't even accept the testimony of the other two, because that's a pasik, nimtzechem and eidim karma pasul, eidis kumim etelim. So the Tumim is quoted by the Nesivus as saying, there are six people who are pasul eidis, where we will not apply the rule of nimtzechem and eidim karma pasul. Three are cherishay to the cotton, they don't count at all, and the other three are eved isha akum. Eved isha akum don't have a shame aid at all. The only time you apply the rule of nim tzeched men eidim kar apostle, if it's tzeched men eidim, let's say three testify that Reuven owes $100 to Shimon, then it turns out two of them were human beings and the third one was a parrot. So you're going to say, the parrot is not Jewish, he's not kosher leidus, and nimsech meredim kara pasul. The answer, a parrot doesn't count. A parrot is not called an eid at all. So you have these six people, cherishay tevikot, nevid isha akum, they're not in the parsha of eidus at all. They don't have a shame eid at all. If someone is a karev, if someone is a ganev, so the karev, and this case is a karev, but another case is not a karev. The ganev can do tshuva, the rosh can do tshuva. So a karev or a pasul, a karev or a ganev is called an eid pasul. So then you apply the rule of nimtzach ben eidim karev pasul, eid is kulam b'teil. But by the cherishot to the katan, avidi shakam, it doesn't apply. So that's where Rav Shimon Shkop explains in the Sefer, in the Shari Yosher, that's the sheet of this minority sheet that the Becha David quotes in the Sefer, that you don't apply eidecha nemen bisurim to noshim, the same as cherishot to the katan, the same as Eved and Akum and Isha. All these six people, those who don't have a shame eid at all, so you can't consider them an eid for eidecha nemen bisurim. A ganef is neman. If he keeps a strictly kosher home, he cheats everybody in business. He's a ganef, he's posulatus. But benodam lamakim, he's strictly observant. So in that area that he keeps, in the area of kashrus, he's neman. Because a ganef has a shame aid, but he has a shame aid posul. But the isha doesn't have a shame aid at all. This is mechudish de ketesis. The tesis writes like that. So here the previous tesis also has, the tesis afilo ever, afilo shivcho, also has a fantastic chiddush. Tosfos wants to know, how many eidim do you need to say ad kam hayinu mahalchem b'shabbos? Is this treated like erecha nemen b'yisurim, or do you need two eidim? So the second Tosfos that we just read, Tchumen d'Rabbanon, Tosfos assumes erecha nemen b'yisurim and Tchumen, and still an isha wouldn't be nemenes. It's only because the Tchumen is d'Rabbanon, that's why we're mekel. If Tchumen would have been d'Raisa, it's not biyada. If it's biyada, she has nemanis. But if it's not biyada, the woman doesn't have nemanis. I'm a chudish digatosis. Unless it's my wife, or it's my daughter, or it's my mother, I know who she is. So that's based on chazak al chaver. It's based on the ruba d'leisa. Come on, but it's not based on if I come to a town. I don't know anybody in the town. I come to the bakery, and the woman is wearing a sheitel, and she says this is kosher food. I don't know who she is. So according to this opinion of Tosfos, we don't apply erecha nemen b'yisurim to women. If it's a man, even though I don't know who he is, erech nemen b'yisurim. If it's a woman, it's not based on, according to this taste, it's not based on erech nemen b'yisurim. According to your taste, is that the whole source of erech nemen b'yisurim is the pasuk v'safra lo li'atzma. So it says beferish that by women they're nemen. But if you all not like that taste, if you all like Rashi, it's not based on that pasuk. So then Tosfos assumes that erech nemen b'yisurim doesn't apply to women at all. That's a fantastic chiddush.
A woman can't be a mishkiach. Is that what you're saying?
According to this tesis, a woman cannot be a mashgiach. He don't say erech nemen b'yisurim. That's right. Unless everybody knows who the woman is, that she's mufursemis, that she's very medaktik. Yeah. So then you have the ruba de leisa kam. If you know who she is, everybody in the neighborhood knows who this woman is, that she's very from. Yeah. So then it's not based on erech nemen b'yisurim. So this whole tesis that we just learned now, the tchumen derabbanan, this is based on the assumption that to be mevar where the Tchum Shabbos is genuk with an Erechot. Is that so? That Erechot is good enough? Or maybe there's for some reason or another in each Ne'edim. Maybe in each, why Mehecha Teisa, why should in each Ne'edim? So that's the previous Teisus. Afilo Eber, Afilo Isha, Afilo Shivcha. So the Teisus has two ways to read the Gemara in Ksuvah's Daf Chav Ches. So the first way to read the Gemara is that you need two Eidim to establish Tchum Shabbos. But you need two Eidim, it should be regular Erecha Nemen V'Yisurim. The second opinion in the Tosfos is Vod Yeshloimar. In the Tosfos Afil Eber Anun Tesamid Aleph. So they say on the first white line Vod Yeshloimar. That the Gemara says that you need to aid him. Except that goes on everything else. Doesn't go on Tchumen. And Tchumen is Erech Nemen Visur. So the Tosfos, the Tchumen de Rabbanan that we just discussed, that Isha is not Nemen is by Erech Nemen Visur. That's all on the assumption that Tchumen is Eidech HaNemen B'Yisurim, and you have a Chiddush that a woman wouldn't be in a menace because it's not B'Yoda, not for the fact that it's only the Rabban. According to the first opinion in the previous Tosfos, you need Shnei Eidim. So Dafim Hashtein, why in the world do you need Shnei Eidim? Why should it be treated like a Dovish B'Yervo? So I think it's too long to explain, we'll have to learn it next time. I think it's based on this Mishnah of Nun Zayin on the base, this funny thing. I think that may be the clue to the answer, but it's going to need more than 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'll have to explain it a little. Okay, we'll need that next time.
Maybe the Ein Mogden Eilu Mumcha is also some kind of a of an excuse. As long as you have somebody who is an expert, all the other possibilities of the other problems are put aside. You had a you had a woman, and she was an expert.
No. The Pashup Shad, the woman says, the rabbi said that here's the Tchum Shabbos. She didn't do the the woman can do the measuring, but the Pashup Shad, she didn't do the measuring. Okay. We'll have to work on it. Let me just mention before we finish, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael tonight for the OU convention, so I have to stay over later, so I won't be able to give a shiur next week. I'm coming back Eretz on Wednesday. So I'll have to, next shiur will be in 2 weeks. But believe that, I have an answer. I think I have an answer. I worked it out last time. I think there is an answer. And this parsha has told us, there's a famous pasuk that says that Avraham Avinu dug a lot of wells in Eretz Yisrael, so the Plishtim, like the Heidegger Palestinians, they ruined everything. They destroyed everything that Avraham Avinu, he built up a whole Medina, and they were destroying everything. They didn't gain anything by destroying. They were destroying. They just destroyed everything that he made. So then the pasuk says, "Vayoshav Yitzchak, vayachpers beres amam shechafre b'mei Avraham Aviv." He dug again the same wells, and he gives them the same names. Avraham Avinu gave each well a different name, to that it should be Shem Shamayim Shogah b'fiv. Here he had the Rabban Shlomo Pitim and so on. So he says, he gave them the exact same names that his father gave. So the Ksava Kabbalah quotes over here from the Zohar. Ksava Kabbalah was a Yekke.
Sure.
From Mecklenburg, huh?
Mecklenburg, yeah. So he doesn't want to say he's quoting from the Zohar. So he says he's quoting from the Mechilta de Rab Shim Bar Yochai. That's the Zohar. He's quoting from the Zohar. So the Zohar says about Masorah, how important it is that you have to have Masorah. Avraham Avinu was an original thinker. He was a trailblazer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, "Hishalech lefonai ve'yesamim." You go ahead of me. It says that Noach, Esra lekim salai Noach, the Ribbono Shel Olam had to hold his hand, and Avraham Avinu went in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was very original. So when you have an original Adam Gadol who comes up with a lot of original insights in religion, so the next generation has to make sure that they preserve all of those insights. If every generation is going to be mechadish, everything from the earlier generations will be lost. So it says that Yitzchak, you don't really have too many stories about Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu is doing original things, and Yankov Avinu does a lot of things, and Yitzchak just preserves the Masorah from his father. He digs the exact same wells, and he gives exactly the same name as his father. And because of that, he's very successful. The Gemara has such a din. When you hear the Torah from the Rebbe, Chai Vonam Loimer Beloshen Rabbi, you have to say it over exactly the same verbatim the way the Rebbe said it. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik used to give the shir originally in Yiddish, so the Yiddish that he said would be exactly the way he heard it from his father. A lot of times there were extra words there. He could have said it in different words, but because his father said it like that, that's the way he felt compelled to say. Then later on, after many years, he realized that there were students, it didn't even occur to him, he realized that there were students who don't know Yiddish. The students who don't know what he's talking about. He had one student who was there one day, and then he left. And then Rabbi Soloveitchik asked him, "Did you understand the shiur?" He said, "I doesn't understand any Yiddish." The next day, the shiur was in English. It didn't occur to him that there were students who didn't know any Yiddish. So it was taka hard when he started saying the shiur in Yiddish, in English, but he wanted to say over exactly the way his father said, so he had to work very hard to try to translate, to carry over verbatim what his father said. How do you say that in English? It wasn't easy. But the Mishnah has the din, Chai Vonam Loimer B'Lashon Rabbi, means some Rishonim learn, it's Takan Din HaMikvos, Meloi Hin Maim Shuvim, Poislem Es HaMikveh. So the Bar Tanura learns Pshat on that Mishnah, Hillel was the Talmud of Shmai Vavtalyim. And because Shmai Vavtalyim were Gerim, or from Mishpachas Gerim, so they couldn't pronounce the word Hin, so they mispronounced, they would say In. So Hillel would say over the mispronunciation. That's how the Bar Tanura learns Pshat. El Shechai Vonam Olam Loshon Rabbi, he would mispronounce the words because that's the way the Rebbe said. The Vilna Gaon thinks that that's a joke. We have to mispronounce. That doesn't make any sense. So he says, no, because the Rebbe couldn't pronounce, Shmai Vavtan couldn't pronounce Hebrew well, so they couldn't pronounce the letter Hey. So they would mispronounce Ein Maim Shuvim Paislam Es HaMikveh. So it sounds like Mayim Shuvim do not pasul. So that's why they added the word Maloi Ein Mayim Shuvim. Malo Ein Mayim Shuvim. So even though Hillel could pronounce Hebrew, so what does he have to say Malo? He can say Hin Mayim Shuvim Pasul Mas HaMikvah, because the Rebbe mispronounced Hin. So the Rebbe had on the word Maloi, so Hillel added on the word Maloi also, because Chayvan Aloim of Lashon Rami. You have to say over the Masoira exactly. You have to be careful to preserve the Masoira.
That's what you said, Leyoder Rabunan. You once said this. Because very often it says, Leyoder Rabunan, so wanted to listen into a maid somewhere. So why? Because wanted to say, Belushin Rabbi.
Yeah.
It was your.
Rav Soloveitchik made that comment on that Gemara also.
Oh.
Yeah. That was his comment on that Gemara. Yeah. So next week I'll be in Eretz, I won't be able to give a shit. But the week after, we're going to work on it. It's not okay.
Schlecht mit.
Okay.
Hi, raise
my one. Oi. Oi, oi. Do you
come back.
Amen.
Have a good trip.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much.
I was lost last week. And it's not good. Another one.